meeting is being recorded.
Hello, this is Annette Estrada with Mini Manifestors Small Talk, Big Minds again. And we are back with Mini Manifestors G6, Group 6. And we are back with a follow-up convo session. Actually, we will follow up on most of the topics. And then some of our mini manifestors actually wanted to shift their focus. So here we go. We got Joelle, Bella, Isabella, Dorian, Cody, and Michelle. And I believe we have Dorian up first. Dorian, what do you got?
I'm going to be talking about homelessness, because I know in the city we live in, it's a big problem. Because many people can't afford to buy houses or pay rent, and these people have low income and can't pay, and then decide to give up on life and become homeless. About 30% of homeless people have mental health problems. They can't afford medical attention, so they stay that way. Since they don't have proper care, the problems get worse and worse, and eventually they have no hope left, so they don't try to get a job or seek help. They feel hopeless. Many organizations in California have shelters for homeless people to stay and eat. These shelters are hard to take care of, as many homeless people go to shelters. But cities have a choice: help these people or let homelessness spread, which will ultimately lead to trash everywhere and tiny mini houses everywhere, which are made of tarp or anything homeless people can find. In San Jose, there is an organization called Sunday Friends Foundation, which provides food and shelter for homeless.
Very nice. Thank you so much, Dorian. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, jump in.
Dorian, I have a question for you. I'm wondering how much people and how much people that live in the state are homeless. Do you know how much people there is? That's what I'm basically trying to say.
In this state, I think there's roughly about only in this. Sorry.
You're good. No, you're good.
What state do we live in?
No, it's okay. California. There's so many states. Don't worry. Don't be embarrassed. I ask that question that all the time.
There's an estimated 6,000 to 8,000 people in California.
Uh huh.
Who are homeless.
Uh huh.
Well, that's just a rough estimate, though. There's states Washington, which it's more expensive.
Yeah.
And also places where New York, where there's tens of thousands of people who are homeless because they can't afford it there.
It's horrible. Thank you so much. Oh, it's such a big issue. Mm-hmm. Did anyone else want to? Yeah, go ahead, Bella.
I have a question for Dorian. Dorian, do you know, one company one shelter that helps homeless people where they can stay in our,
There's one called Sunday Friends Foundation, which basically, every Sunday they'll do a food drive for homeless. And then, during the week, they also have shelters around San Jose, and they let them sleep there and stay there. And this is, a organization that was made in San Jose to help homelessness, because recently, in the world, our population increased to 8 billion. So, now we need more and more people for help. And San Jose recently also got voted the most expensive city in California or in America, I think. So now people are losing jobs and need more care.
Very interesting. Thank you so much, Dorian. Do you see yourself, Dorian? Do you see yourself kind of going further with the homelessness awareness or, you know, research, or, you know, kind of taking it to the next level with like a project, or right now you're just kind of researching different topics?
I know that like when you go outside and you see homeless, I'm not trying to like draw any stereotypes, but a lot of them, they personally scare me.
Okay.
Because a lot of them are, they have mental problems, and I found out like a list of problems that homeless people have, and they don't treat these diseases, and it gets worse and worse, and then eventually it just affects our whole community. And honestly, like, I'm just scared of that. So I have like a list of illnesses that a lot of people do, and also their life choices, like what they've done to go get there.
Right. Definitely, it's a real thing. And I think as a community, many people are loving about it, and then there's also that other side where sometimes you don't know how to be, especially if it seems like, you know, could, you don't feel comfortable right there at that moment. So I hear you. Yeah. Thank you so much, Dorian. All right. We have that big round of applause for everyone at the end, but let's give him a mini manifestors round of applause, whatever that is. Woo. All right. Who's next?
Me.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Jump on in.
So today I'm going to be talking about animal safety and why is animal safety important, because there's a bunch of issues of like animals getting abused. So I just want to like say things. No, I just want to like talk about animal safety and what we can do. Okay, so first, animal safety is really important because it helps a lot of animals survive. And what I'm basically trying to say is that it's important to take care of your animal, because maybe your animal, like if you're like something happened to you, your animal, if it's like trained or like, I don't know, it can help you. Like it can help you out if you treat your animal with respect. And also, something that I think a tip that we should do, like, to make sure like people don't abuse animals is that maybe like animal shelters, animal people, like people that have pets, like some animal people don't have a secure home for the animal, like they don't have a big animal. So I just wanted to say that maybe like the shelters should like see like your house and see if it's like nice and like it provides things for your animals. Because I do know this one store in the mall, I think it's called Mini Cat Town. And like, if you want to adopt an animal, like a cat, because it's cats, right? It's only cats. You, like, they go through your house to see if it's secure, and they either reject you or not. If like, yeah, if they think your animal, like your house, is a great space for animals. So I just want to say that.
That is such a big deal, because as much as many people love cute animals, sometimes we forget to think about, oh my gosh, I just like totally adopted this animal, but is my home even suitable? You know what I'm saying? Is my cat going to get along with the 14 other cats that I have? I mean, that's an example. Yeah, it happens. It really does. It really does. So I really do give shout out to Cat Town for checking out those potential cat parents, because it's so easy to like take on an animal, but then your house is not, your home isn't, and your lifestyle is not suitable for them. That's a big deal. Very good point. Thank you.
Okay.
Did anyone want to ask a, anyone wanted to follow up with Michelle? Yeah.
Do you know how many, like, do you know, like, another, shelter that maybe can, like, you be, like, safe or comfortable to adopt an animal?
Last time I researched, like, what shelters, like, was safe for the, like, animals, like, for every animal in the state that we live, and I did find one in particular, but I forgot what it was called. So maybe next time I can research again and probably memorize it in my head.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. Thank you. Yeah, that'd be really nice. It'd be really nice too to find out which shelters are kind of vetting homes, you know, like checking out homes besides Cat Town. That's a really big deal because you never know what some people do with their animals once they're adopted, right? Yeah. All right. Number three. Who's next? Yeah.
My topic is going to be about water waste because I think that's a big part in our environment, especially since a lot of people waste their water, like not stopping and thinking that it's so important. So first you can lose a lot of money from wasting water because that water you buy with your own money and like is kind of going to waste by wasting water. Water is so important that sometimes it can also be bad for the environment because it can cause diseases and poisons because it can get it can collect all the bad water, like if it lands in the sewers, it can collect all that bad stuff that's in the sewers and make like a type of disease or something bad that can happen from the environment and it can spread. Also, water can be very important to you because we're basically like half of us is made of water. So like we basically need water, and also water can help us survive in tough times too. Water is also important to the environment because it can also cause heavy metals, which is very bad. And it can like hurt people. And I think that like when you waste water, I think you shouldn't, because we need to like know how much like water can be bad for the environment, and like waste is really bad. And I don't want to just talk about water waste. I want to talk about like all of the waste. So I think that's what I will do to like level up my project that I'm talking about right now.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Are you talking about like human waste?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a big deal. Have you heard about like, you know, people, I don't know if you guys know about these, but you know, when people go to the bathroom, there are like wipies, right? The toilet wipies. So a lot of people have been flushing it down and it's been causing a lot of trouble in our sewage systems, like hardcore. But
I was like saying that too, like for example the wipes that you mentioned, that like can go to the sewers, especially the water waste, like all the water waste that you waste can also go into the sewers, and that's how it like makes diseases and poisons, because that can all like connect together and it can make something really bad for the environment.
I think it'd be really cool for you, you know, with your leveling up of this particular topic. I wonder how our water system is here in the South Bay, and you know what I'm saying, San Jose and everything. Dorian, go ahead.
I know my family, we don't drink tap water because that we know that tap water comes from like groundwater, rivers and lakes. But and I know obviously there's a company that has to filter it so it's drinkable, but what kind of like companies that filter tap water, what kind of companies are like known for not cleaning their water well? Because I know you're also talking about like diseases in water.
Yeah, I agree with Dorian that companies that sell water can also like not filter the water as well. So that's how it can cause like bad stuff to go in your body and for the environment. And I also wanted to say, like every day, I think like 80 gallons of water gets wasted every day or every month.
I think it's every day or something close to it. I don't know the exact number. I think there's an average, like if we researched it, but maybe that's something to look up, Bella, to speak to Dorian's question. Like, I wonder which companies do an okay or not okay job when it comes to filtering water.
I do have some companies in mind that, like do make sure do help with like water waste, like to get rid of water waste and like to make the water more better for people.
Really nice. That'd be cool to kind of bring back and even maybe even talk about, are there companies that don't do a good job?
Yeah, I will research about the companies that don't do a good job, but I know that one company was like GFL Environmental, and they help like with making sure their water is well filtered.
We gotta give those people props on the next session after you give us some facts about the GFL. Nice, very good. Since we're at the halfway, I'm gonna definitely make sure to give the Dorian and the Michelle and the Bella a nice round of applause. Ooh, halfway mark. Yeah, baby. All right, here we go. What do we got next? Yes, jump in, Isabella.
I am also talking about animal safety. I think it's really important to keep our animals safe because a lot of humans can have strong connections with pets, and it's really important because, like, building onto what Michelle said, dogs, cats, or I think any animal can help with, like, mental illnesses or one of those to, like, make you happier, because my cat, I really love him, and he makes me happy. Also, same for my dog. And yeah.
Is your angle, because it sounds like for Michelle, her angle is like pet safety, but like, you know, how safe is their new home environment if they get adopted, right? Yeah. And yours is more of like, you know, pets are beneficial. What's my cat doing? Pets are beneficial because they give like emotional support. Is that more your angle, it seems like?
Yeah, I also think like not only do pets help us, but we also have to think about the pets, because building on to what Michelle said, I think it's really important to like check houses to make sure like pets are able to live in that environment, because not only do they help us, but we also got to make sure that they're feeling happy.
Oops, yeah, yes, for sure. Because if they're not happy, then I don't know. They just, you know, you notice when some animals aren't happy, they just sit around like little sad lumps. You know, I gotta check in on my cats, by the way. Sometimes my cat looks like a little sad potato. Only sometimes, though, only sometimes.
This is my cat.
Oh my gosh, here's mine. Look at her.
It's blurry.
Oh, it's blurry. My bad. Hold on. Sorry, here, let me get rid of that blur. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Earlier, my cat was stepping on my keyboard, so I kept having to put him, like, away.
Yeah, yeah, yep. My cat, too. My cat, too. All right. Nice. Did someone want to ask a follow-up question? Yeah, go ahead, Michelle.
I just wanted to build on to you that I'm pretty sure, like, if you don't treat an animal a certain way, like, if you don't treat them, like, happy with respect and everything, I'm pretty sure they'll be sad and, like, they don't really want to, like, they don't want to be with anyone. And if you, like, try to, like, love them again, they'll, like, try not, they'll try to annoy you, but, like, sometimes they'll, like, budge and they'll, like, be with you, but sometimes, not all the times, they'll be a little sad and, like, they won't, like, I think that would like lose the connection with you, like, a little bit more, like, at a time. So I'm pretty sure we should keep animals happy. So
yeah. Yep. I agree. Yeah, go ahead, jump in, Cody, Bella, whoever wants to jump in next.
I have a question for Isabella. It's like personal too. Like, since you have a cat and you were talking about, like, how pets can help you, like, and Michelle was talking about the houses, I wanted to know, since you have a cat too, I want to know, like, if you, like, would prefer like a shelter that maybe you can get another cat from, that will be, like, you feel comfortable getting another cat from.
Can you repeat that?
I want to know, like, if you know one shelter that, like, you feel comfortable going to.
Yeah. What's, like, the best shelter in town for you?
I don't really have a shelter. I just got my cat because I found him. Because where my dad works, he has a lot of cats. And one day he, like, brought, like, a big box full of kitties. And I got to pick one. And I think the other ones, my dad was giving, like, selling them. Because he didn't really care about the money. He just wanted to make sure that the cats have a good home. Because my dad loves cats, too. And he's a big animal fan, so.
Oh, nice. Stray cats are good, too. All right. Yeah. Was it Dorian? Yeah. Go ahead, Dorian.
I know this is off topic, but when a cat came to my backyard, and I think it was my mom. She came to our house, and the cat. I'm terrified of cats.
Whoa.
Because the cat, like, lashed out on me.
Oh.
And then I was, like, on top of the table in the backyard. I was, like, trying to get from him, and then my aunt came out, and it was a stray cat. And then she picked up the cat, and then she just loved the cat and kept the cat. And now whenever I go to her house, she, like, the cat scares me because it'll hiss at me. Or then whenever I take my dog, they'll fight. And then the cat will, like, get on top of the washer and just hide from my dog.
Yeah, it can be. Some cats are, I think that's, I mean, it's pretty much what we're talking about, like, or any animal, like, when they've been kind of treated pretty harshly, when they get older, you can tell they were treated harshly because of the way they treat, you know, like, the people around them. So I hear that. Some cats are pretty intense sometimes. Yeah,
I agree, especially with the stray cats. There could be some shelter cats, but I think so. But especially with the stray cats, some people just, like, traumatize their cats and just leave them on the side of the road. And then when they find, like, a place to stay, like, backyard or something, when people approach them, they become very, like, hostile and angry because they're just, like, really scared of humans now that, like, they've been traumatized.
Yeah, or they're just straight wild. Like, they're like, whoa, I've never been around a human. I don't need a human. you know, and you can tell. So it's either they're traumatized or they're just like so used to being, you know, self-reliant. So, yeah. All right. We got two more speakers. Who do we got next? Is it Joelle? Or co no, I'm sorry. It's Cody. Codes. Cody Code, you're up.
What I decided to type on was about a pollution, and I guess it needed to be, and because there's a lot of it in a lot of places, and you can see it on the ground a lot. And so did you know that each year there's a 32 metric tons of waste that gets left out.
Wait, outside of the outside.
Like if you're including like gas, glass, gas pollution,
Right.
the like solid pollution, like and like normal solid pollution, like plastic, recyclable things that you see outside, wrappers and stuff.
Right.
And so there's like a lot of it.
Oh gosh, this makes me feel. Every time I hear things like this, it just makes me feel so, like, it just makes me feel so weird on the inside, like, not good. I don't know how you guys feel. Yeah. Go ahead, Cody. I'm sorry.
And like most of the trash that we see, like not even most of the trash that we produce are in landfills. Most of the trash that we produce comes from cars, greenhouse emissions and factories. Basically, and everything that uses gas and fossil fuel.
What are your thoughts about, like, you know, we're starting to turn to like EVs, electrical vehicles. Do you think, I mean, I heard that there's some, like, you know, there's some downsides to it, but it's where you where we won't be using as much fossil fuel. Has that come across your research?
Yes, it has, but I mean, I guess we're still using it
True.
technically. And like the hard part is like it's like telling people to use less like gas and trash too, because not everybody is gonna listen to you.
Yep. Dorian, what do you got?
I know that that there's a big problem that we use gas and stuff and we use fossil fuels, but I think I wrote an essay about it, me and Mrs. Chada, about using more solar energy and less fossil fuels. But in the future, do you think that we could use solar energy instead of using gas? Because I know there's already electrical vehicles, but a lot of them are, I mean, they might not be affordable. And back to like what we were talking about earlier, like San Jose is really expensive, and to be buying cars that are electric, like you would have to be on a budget for your everyday needs. But do you think solar energy could at one point benefit us in the future?
I think it could benefit us. It's just that we haven't, yeah, like we could use it fully on like cars and stuff. It would just be like getting enough attention and like awareness about it, about solar energy and
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing that Dorian brought up because I heard in a report that EV while EV electrical vehicles are, up and coming, and to speak to Dorian's idea about price, right now the prices are like, okay, it's they're newer cars, so of course the price is gonna be a little, a little up here. But I also heard that, yeah, they are working to making them more affordable, like non-EV cars. But then I also heard a report that the batteries in the electrical vehicles use, I think it's iodine, and iodine is toxic for the environment. Especially considering, like, after a while, when there's a lot of batteries to recycle, that chemical will, it's not good for the environment. So then I was like, well, wait a minute. What about solar cars, right? Like, solar energy is free. I mean, I know they've been working on different prototypes, but gosh. I'm all for solar, like 100% before the star burns out. Yeah, go ahead, jump in. Jump in, Dorian.
I can. They put iodine and chemicals and like chemicals that you use to disinfect things in your house,
Yeah.
and they're saying it might be dangerous for sprays, like when you spray it, that iodine
Yep.
can cause headaches, and it's just really bad for your mental state, and it could like also make you sick in the stomach because of the smell,
Wow.
and might cause you to vomit or be nauseous.
Yeah, can you imagine? I mean, humans, we use things at such a fast and substantial rate. The amount of iodine, I mean, my hope is that when these batteries, fi when they get recycled from EV vehicles, that the chemicals in these batteries aren't accidentally released into the environment. But looking at our history, we accidentally spill a lot of chemicals in our water and our land. So, ooh. Very good stuff, though. Gosh. Hot stuff, animal safety, environment, mental wellness, mental wellness. Whew. You guys are getting me fired up. Fired up. I love it. All right, any other follow-ups for codes? Time for Joelle. What do we got, Joey G? Thank you. Thank you, codes.
I'm gonna be talking about animal safety because it's been a really big deal to our environment, and especially for the animals that live in specific environments. And yeah.
Yeah, tell us more.
And like it's mostly been like because of like humans, and people usually do this because of their need for resources. And according to the National Wildlife Federation, it says that habitat losses due to destruction, fragmentation, or degradation, like what do you call it? Like how some people take down like trees for wood, and factories would sometimes be kind of planted near some sort of water source.
Yeah, is there a particular case that stands out that you research?
Not from what I've told, like what companies. I need to research that. What kind of companies?
Oh yeah. No problem. I mean, you have the time to do it. I think this is a good time to just kind of roll it out and say, hey, this is kind of what I've been thinking about. Ah, good stuff. Any follow-up here on habitat loss? Yeah, Michelle.
Joelle, do you know, like, how much habitats, like, around the whole world has, like, how much habitats of animals have been, like, lost? Like, yeah.
Right now, the current rate of it would be 160,000 square kilometers per year, which is, like, basically 1% of the original forest habitat per year.
So sad. Yeah, codes.
Do you know the, like, what places have been most impacted the most due to, like, habitat loss and deforestation?
For one, I would say glaciers, like what you said, of, like, climate change, because glaciers have been melting, and that has been hard for, like, specifically the Arctic animals, like polar bears.
Hey, did you ever, and also, I also saw a documentary, too, in addition to the polar bears, I think they were sea elephants or something. Like, there's less ice to, like, you know, kind of rest on, you know, take a break from the water. So they're all, like, toppling over each other on these little pieces of land. And it's pretty treacherous for them. Sometimes they have to, like, climb on top of each other. And it's, if you ever have a moment, you all should check out this kind of, like, I think they're sea elephant seals, sorry. But it's really intense. Yeah, go ahead, Dorian.
I know at San Francisco, my family, we go to Pier 39, I think.
Yeah.
There's a walkway, and there's also, like, a huge lake, and recently I went at night, and the eels, they, like, stack on top of each other because there's so many boats. And I think maybe because there's, like, so many boats, and there's, because obviously they need to anchor them down. Mm. That also might be habitat loss because they don't have anywhere to go. And I saw them kind of all stacked up on the dock, and they were, like, crying. Mm-hmm. Making the noise that sea elephants make.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially because I don't know what's going on with the great white population, the great white sharks, but especially when the great whites are around, you'll see, I think it's, like, during their migration too, like, great whites, like, they'll come around and it's just like a big old seal fest. They're like, yeah, time to eat. And yeah, you're right. The land, it does get a little, it looks like it's getting, it seems scarce just because they're all, like, toppled on top of each other. You can smell them too. They have a specific smell. It's like ocean, you know. Anyone else wanted to jump in? Thank you, Dorian, about habitat loss. Very interesting stuff for sure. Oh my gosh. Well, let's give our G6 team a big round of applause. Jeez. Louise. Sorry, that was supposed to be a gradual come down there, but I know our first episode was definitely intriguing. This episode is doubly intriguing just because I feel like we're getting there's power in talking, and then there's also power in action. But I think it's real important for all of us to just really process what we're passionate about, right? So this time that we all have here to have a safe place to make mistakes, because I know I make mistakes every time I'm on the podcast, but also correct ourselves and to bring back research that bring back research that refines what I was talking about, or, you know, just even working in a team that creates a safe space for our passions is such a big deal. So I just hope that you all can give yourselves another round of applause. Such a big deal. And that's pretty much it. Supporters of Mini Manifestors, Small Talk, Big Minds. This is episode 2. And again, like I said, doubly intriguing. I am so excited for episode 3 and potential new members to join. But we will catch you on the flip-flop side in a couple weeks. So thank you again. And we will see you with our ears and our eyes soon. Thank you.